This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now you're kissing Chase Utley and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay. That sounds good.
I'm gonna read it.
Dear Chase, they're stickers. Yeah. My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
Welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you're missing the first hour, you can download that, The Fan Podcast, at 10ofthefan.com, wherever you get your podcast, the Odyssey app. Fair or Foul coming up in about, what am I looking at? Ooh, we're way over. About 20 minutes, 25 minutes or so. But it's time to play the game here of who the hell is this guy? And that, my friends, is the newly posted Japanese superstar.
We think
Roki Sasaki.
Ooh.
Who I've already coined the phrase Roki Sass.
I like that.
Okay.
I like Roki Sass. Well, he's a little bit of a flamboyant kid. A little bit of a, he's got some edge to him.
I do not know a single thing other than I've been seen articles in passing about this guy.
Roki Sass, he's got some swagger to him. He throws three pitches, four-seam fastball, a splitter, and a slider. He started the World Baseball Classic semifinal against Mexico. And his first 10 pitches were all fastballs and all registered over 100 miles an hour.
They gave him the old Dennis Quaid.
I have seen a side-by-side of Roki and Shohei, and Roki looks better. Roki looks better.
So he's hotter, is what you're saying?
No, I am not. I'm an equal opportunity employer. I find all of these men very sexy.
I mean, Shohei's already married.
Mostly so. Because of their wallets. He's 6'2", 187 pound. He's a right-hander. And they say he is probably the hardest thrower Japan has ever seen. 102.5 on the gun.
Jeez, that's Aroldis Chapman who just signed today. God. Like, starting pitcher, right? Like,
starting
not just
pitcher,
relief.
Not
like
a reliever.
This is 103. Oh, my God. For six innings? Are you kidding me?
He had an average fastball velocity of 98.4 in the 2022 season. Only Hunter Green would have averaged more than that. Let's see. I got this stat right here. His fastball first put him on the map as a 17-year-old high schooler. When he broke the Japanese high school record with a fastball recorded at 163 kilometers per hour. That's 101. That's just his fastball.
How's his control, though, Bob?
This article on MLB.com says his splitter can be as devastating as Ohtani's or Kodai Senga's ghost fork. It's probably his best pitch.
But only compare it to other Japanese players.
Because well,
just like
got.
Comparing white wide receivers to only other white wide
yeah,
receivers.
Yeah, Julian Edelman versus Jordy Nelson.
Ladd McConkey really reminds me of a Wes Welker.
Oh, really? Shocking there.
Yeah. Let's see. His slider and his splitter are both 90.
Damn. Remember when only Randy Johnson could do that? Now it's like every top pitcher in baseball.
He has been compared to Ohtani as a pitcher ever since high school and has always been claimed as the better pitcher.
Sorry. I keep going back.
I know. You keep saying that. And now I'm like, man, all my stuff here about Roky Sass like, just means nothing. Cause
like, can we not find one like Dominican yeah, pitcher like, to compare him
like,
to?
Oh, or? He throws as fast as Randy Johnson.
Yeah.
You like, seen Framber Valdez? I like Roky Sasaki.
Randy's white.
We haven't seen anything like this in Japan since Hideo Nomo.
God, Hideo Nomo looks actually pretty bad compared to these latest Japanese
I think the
pitchers.
Reality, friends, is that Roky might be some real deal.
Yeah, those are some insane numbers. I mean, that is just when you are able to throw flames like that is again, I joke, but you know, it will be important once he gets to the majors is what is your control like? How close is everything to the zone? Are you all over the place if you're catcher and your coach are asking for an inside low, are you able to deliver that speed and put it in the spot where they want you to? My guess is he probably can. Is that if you are throwing that fast and have that type of velocity that you are able to have some control on it. What intrigues me is to see the other stuff, the sinker, the slider, see what that is like, because that's the stuff that is, that is literally the stuff. That is the thing that's going to totally throw pitchers off is that they're expecting that fastball and then they get that late movement and it's a little bit slower, albeit only 90 miles per hour on those. But that's what I'll be intrigued to see is, a late slide, like just making dudes look foolish, that breaking stuff, that is so fun to watch.
His first full season in the NPB, he had a 2.02 ERA.
It's pretty good.
And 173 strikeouts in 129 innings. So that might be the real question. How many innings this kid got in him? We don't see a lot of pitchers with 200 innings these days.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, the way that modern baseball, yeah, I mean, you have guys that, you know, a full season for them is now sub 200.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're going 170, 180, 190. And especially.
And that's like the Cy Young winner went 180.
Well, and again, we've seen a lot of different changes in the approach of starting pitching over the last decade now where guys are like, all right, you gave us five innings scoreless. Yeah.
Yeah. Done. They don't want the lineup seeing him a third time.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, I mean, This is what we were talking about with Luis Gil, though, you know, with his rookie year. It was like he was really great to start, and then he kind of fell off because he hasn't pitched this many innings in a season before. Yeah. So that'll be intriguing to see is whoever he signs with. And that's, you know, right now it's the leader. It says San Francisco Giants are predicted to sign him. That's according to the up-to-date, current, totally relevant Sports Illustrated.
Oh, I thought you were going to say John Heyman.
God, don't even. Just please stop.
But yeah. The talk for Roque's ass is Giants, Dodgers, Padres. The interesting thing is obviously he admires Shohei, who is the best player in the world.
We'll go to LA then.
But his mentor and his hero and his role model is Yu Darvish.
Mm-hmm.
So
going to San Diego might be
enticing. I feel like San Diego might have the inside track on him. That you is kind of talking to him like, hey, man, you got to do what's best for you. You come here and I'll take care of you, but you got to do what's best for you. To where the Shohei angle is kind of like, hey, come hang out with the cool kids. And it's like, what do you want to do? Do you want to hang out with the cool kids or be elite?
I would love to see him go to the Padres. I really want to see this Padres-Dodgers war.
Just get nuts.
Yes.
Just get absolutely insane.
Yeah. And then I would love to see the
Padres. And then the Giants sign Vladdy Jr. And you're like, whoa!
And they somehow have a 107-win season out of nowhere. And then the Rockies are the Colorado Rockies.
Colorado Rockies. All right. So we'll keep you up to date on Roque Sass, and we'll see how that goes. But let's get to the real update, and that is the prize of the ball. That is Juan Soto. Offers are in. What is it looking like? And we'll give an updated on our preview on where we think he'll go. That's Schultzy on the ones and twos. Joe Fisher to my left. I'm Patrick Harris, 1080 The Fan.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get to Fair or Foul, everybody's favorite. We'll get to that. But I guess it wouldn't be a baseball show if we didn't talk about Juan Soto. Is he Japanese? Soto?
No, he is not Japanese. Maybe.
I didn't know.
I want to see the 23andMe.
I did see a potential World Baseball Classic.
1.3% sub-Saharan African.
A World Baseball Classic batting lineup, 1-9 for the Dominican Republic. Julio's on the bench. Okay, that's how. Ellie De La Cruz is also on the bench. Like, it looks real silly.
Kind of funny.
And they won't win. Somehow Puerto Rico will sneak in, or maybe the Americans. The Japanese. They're better than everybody right now.
Is that this
we're
year?
In some qualifying right now.
I know, but it's in 2025, right?
No, I think it's in 2026.
Do they do it every 2 years? I smell pennies.
As we're all like.
Yeah, exactly. Click, clickety, clackety.
Clickety, clackety.
26, yeah. Thursday, March 5th through Tuesday, March 17th.
Of 2026?
Yes, sir.
Lame. Look at you. Getting me all excited for World Baseball Classic now.
I told you, man.
You were saying a couple years ago, like, man, I don't know. How big can it be? And I was like, whatever. I don't care. Yeah, and now I'm like, when is it? Is it this year?
Joe, I'll talk and type in potential 2025 Dominican Republic starting 1-9.
I'll pull it up. I'll find it.
You go, midnight ain't got nothing on what your pants are about to do. That being said, it's time to kind of check in on the Juan Soto sweepstakes, as it seems that we've it seems that we've narrowed this down. Joe, this is a family show. It seems that we've narrowed this down to a few teams. We got the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Mets, the Blue Jays, and the Dodgers.
I'm so shocked.
Shocked, I tell you.
I didn't hear Orioles.
Let me tell you real quick. We'll get a little sneak peek to Fair or Foul. Fair or foul, the Red Sox have a worse chance of signing Soto than the Blue Jays.
Ooh, I'm going to go foul.
The Red Sox have a worse?
Yeah.
I'm going to say fair.
Yeah.
I think Blue Jays are the leader in the clubhouse.
And you think the Red Sox have a better chance than the Blue Jays?
I do, just because of the history of that organization, and it sounds like that does matter to Juan, but yeah, who knows?
I'm with Joe for simply one reason, that Juan Soto's skin is brown. I said it. I'm not afraid of it.
Hey,
he's not signing in Boston.
That's a fair point there, brother. Fair point.
He's not signing in Boston.
If he signs with Boston, I will be thoroughly disappointed.
I would be insanely shocked. Like, oh, okay, bye Juan Soto. It's good to see you.
Like, as far as pure baseball,
remember
talent
his last goes, years in D.C.? That's what it's going to be like for 10 years and $600 million.
As pure baseball talent goes, he is one of my favorite players at the dish.
He's so great. His eyeballs are amazing.
Yes, but you're dead to me.
You're dead. You're gone.
You go to Boston, dude.
It's not even that I hate Boston. It's just that I'm not going to watch you.
I don't know. Red Sox, if I were to make like a ranking of my least favorite teams in all the sports, they might be number two behind the Eagles. Like, that's how much I'm just done with the Red Sox.
Huskies are at the bottom in similar fashion.
And you're like top five.
Huskies are the number one most hated team.
Oh, I see. Okay.
We're not, that's not changing. The Tigers, they live really high on that list.
I couldn't believe this. I was talking with Boss Cooley and talking about Dodgers and Soto and stuff.
He probably hates the Yankees. Big Red Sox fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Bossman Cooley.
Well, I told him, I was like, I can't believe I actually would rather you guys sign Soto than the Dodgers at this
well,
point.
Well, I've right? seen Soto on the Yankees, and it ain't very good.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And no protection in that lineup.
So that's what it is. We're looking at, I mean, people are talking $600, $700 million. It's talking Soto or Shohei money. I think the difference is Shohei is 10 years. I think Soto will probably get like a 12-year deal, but Shohei money. So not quite Shohei money. But in everything we've heard right now, there are rumors. Meetings with the Yankees have gone really well with the amount of money spent on Blake Snell and potentially Roky Sass and, you know, the trade for Nolan Arenado, et cetera, Teoscar, and all the things going around the Dodgers. Like, they could be out. They might not just be able to have the cards in it. Steve Cohen saying no one will outbid us. The rumor is that the Blue Jays have offered the most money so far. So, because we don't know anything. We don't know S. Like we're all just shooting blanks here.
Now, I shouldn't say that. I think the Blue Jays are the leader in the clubhouse. I still think it's the Mets. I would say probably Mets. This Blue Jays thing, I think, is just somewhat of a smokescreen to scare the Yankees into.
Remember, we're watching airplanes going to Toronto from L.A. for Shohei. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
But are the Blue Jays just the new Giants trying to sign Aaron Judge? So my question to you guys, and Joe, I tend to agree with you, spoiler alert, right now, who's the leader in this Soto sweepstakes?
I have the Mets winning and the leader right now. Again, I think that Steve Cohen is going to do everything in his power to be like, the Blue Jays are giving him how much? Okay, 50 mil more. They're giving you how many years? All right, how many years do you want?
Like, and we think Soto is money-based?
Yes.
I think so, too.
Yes, I think so. I think all of this, I like the team and the tradition.
I want to see clubhouse facilities. You know, and tell me about your minor league system and your development.
I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it with him at all.
So you say Mets.
Yes.
Schultzy?
I mean, I'm going to go with my previous answer of team prestige here and say
Mariners. Love it.
Yep, exactly. God, good old bias, my teal green machine. Damn it, I wish. You're just taking me to the unicorn alternate universe that I want to live in. No, I still think it's the Dodgers. I was saying this before the season ended. I do believe, as we're seeing them hand money to Blake Snell, that Tommy Edman contract was insane.
And, so cheap.
And to
14 and a half?
My God, to me, that signaled the overpayment of a Tommy Edman who, yes, he had a great World Series, yeah. and I do...
NLCS MVP?
And I do want to give him his due for that. I just gave Aaron Judge a bunch of crap, $40 million a year player, basically doing really great in the regular season and really crappy in the postseason. So yeah, he should have gotten paid. But that much, what that Dodgers deal signaled to me is that they are willing to do anything and everything. So whatever the Blue Jays are offering, I'm sorry. I think the real Blue, the Dodgers, is going to offer more. It could get to like a $700 million cost for them. They don't care. It'll be what? What was the post-luxury tax deal for Shohei? What was the number? Like $450, $460 that's actually on the Dodgers books right now? I see him in LA, baby. It's going to suck. Baseball's going to basically be watching the Dodgers win it all for years, but he's going to be their right fielder.
I like that when he poo-pooed on Toronto, I heard a sorry.
Sorry, dude. Yeah, yeah,
sorry.
Like a little Freudian slip. He was like, sorry, it's going to be the Dodgers. I liked that.
So these are odds as of November 21st. I don't know if they have any more updated, but Yankees still the favorite, minus 110. Mets, plus 150. Red Sox, Dodgers, Blue Jays all tied at plus 300. Come on, Nationals.
The Nationals would be amazing. Would be absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
that's what we all want.
For the love of God.
For
please.
The love of God, go back to D.C.
But I want a dark horse. Someone in sneaking in the back. My God, that's the Detroit Tigers music.
Texas Rangers. Bochy. Nah. I like how you're like, man.
Yeah, that's lame. They just won a World Series.
I'm with you, Joe. I'm with you 100%. I think the answer is the Mets. I think because they're going to give him the dollar amount he wants. But more importantly, outside of the Dodgers, to Schulze's point, the Dodgers is the best place to win. But as far as everybody else is concerned, the Mets are the best team outside of the Dodgers for him to go to.
Yes.
It's a better fit than the Yankees.
Yeah.
The Mets are better set up to win right now. Depends on what they do free agent pitching-wise, because all the guys, all the old dudes that pitched out of their minds in the playoffs, they're all free agents. So it all going to depend on, you know, Kodai Senga and how he recovers and what the pitchers look like for the Mets. But as far as that offense, I think Pete Alonso is going back to New York. And if you get Pete Alonso and you throw Soto, and now you've got Soto, Alonso, and Lindor, plus, you know, old man Marte at the back of the lineup, or Brandon Nimmo up at the top, and there's some other guys that have been playing really well for them, especially in the postseason, I think the Mets are just the best fit for him. I really do.
I think that just like the Dodgers are desperate to just build up this absolute monster of a team that is going to give them a chance at a World Series every single year and is going to yield multiple World Series for them, I think the Mets are just as desperate to spend and become that team
Dodgers
right
East.
There. And quite frankly,
they're now tied to Walker Buehler.
I just think that the vibes and the appetite from the Yankees to be the Yankees of years of decades past, where it's like, we don't give an F. We're the Yankees. We will give them the biggest contract. Like, it's just, I don't feel like that's what you get from them anymore.
I don't want to be a part of the Yankees. I think that's a bad team.
Who was it? Was it Luis Severino? Like halfway through the year, it's like, yeah, they got two guys that can hit. And it was kind of seen as like, oh, well, that was kind of backhanded. A former Yankee saying that, how dare he? It kind of ended up being true.
But we'll talk about it next week, the stupid rule that Manfred's floating around the golden at bat. Why? So Aaron Judge can strike out a fifth time in a game? Like, I think the Mets is a better choice. I will stick with the Mets. All right, when we come back, it's everybody's favorite, fair or foul.
But why? Someone tell me why, damn it!
But first, we'll send it over to Schulze with sports.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll, 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 roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Ronnie Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Without further ado, we'll turn it over to our fantastic producer, Jordan Schultze, the sixth.
Appreciate you guys. Lots going on in baseball this week. If you're watching football, you're just watching basketball, you're missing a lot. Like,
I'm pretty sure nobody's watching basketball.
I hope not yet.
I'm watching college.
Most people,
nobody's
like,
watching the NBA. Even Brandon Sprague said this morning that he's
really
not watching a ton of NBA.
He's waiting for the W to start back up.
Yeah.
No, most people wait until Christmas Day. I think that's kind of when the season for the NBA starts in their minds, right?
Wait until the second round.
And I know we're up against it, but I had a quick epiphany this weekend watching NFL football. And I've kind of felt this way for a while now. College football is better. The atmosphere, the fan excitement. It is literally like, it's like going to the circus for an NFL game. Everybody's just sitting down, watching the game. Oh, that was a cool play. Sure, some places are better than others, but there are some environments in the NFL over the weekend where I was like, these fans know they're at an NFL game, right? They can be excited and, you know, like stand up, cheer a little bit. I am staunchly on college football, better product than NFL.
Certainly more fun.
I haven't watched NFL religiously in a decade.
I mean, it's obviously college football is more fun to attend in person, especially.
Tune in next week as Joe and I talk about why the NFL is not very fun.
Hey, but still continually makes money and owns 3 days of the week. All right, guys, let's start. We got time for, I think, three questions or so. I don't know if you saw some news this week about a proposed new rule called the Golden At-Bat Rule in Major League Baseball. Commissioner Rob Manfred said, quote, there is a buzz going around, this is apparently executives in baseball, about a Golden At-Bat Rule. This was per Jason Stark of MLB Network. This rule would allow a team to choose one at-bat in every game to use their best hitter regardless of where they're at in the lineup. So say Yankees facing off against the Doyers, and they're down 2-1 in the ninth. Aaron Boone, he's hitting 7th, 8th, 9th point in the lineup. He could put Aaron Judge up there if he wants. You could do that one time. Fair foul, guys. The Golden At Bat Rule would ruin Major League Baseball as we know it.
What's it called if you strike out 6 times a game?
A double sombrero?
The golden ass.
That's a good one. I like that joke.
Yeah, and then Rob Manfred turned off his Xbox and realized that, like, oh, wait, no, that is not a good idea for real life. That's the dumbest, like, we could go on forever about it, but just stop. Stop. This is, like, Rob Manfred executives, whoever is talking about this, you are embarrassing yourself by talking about this. Yeah. Like, they even think this is an idea. Like, this totally takes away the allure of, one, being a good manager, being a good team, having a lineup 1-9. It takes away those playoff moments of, like, oh, yeah, here's your 7, 8, 9. Oh, my God, they just won us the game.
Rajai Davis hit a home run off Aroldis Chapman in the 2016 World Series.
And quite frankly, if you were to implement this and it's like, oh, they're using their golden bat roll and here comes Aaron Judge or Shohei and they win it, that's not that cool. Like, that is not nearly as cool as it just coming up in the order. I mean, like, hey, we're at the third batter and it's time for Shohei and he wins it. It's completely manufactured. No, terrible. Fire him into the sun. I am now MLB commissioner. I take over.
This can't be real. In the sense, like, we just talked about the NFL. I have to believe that this is a ploy by Manfred and Major League Baseball to get people talking about baseball when it's not going on. This would be, I'm with Joe. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
If he walked into this studio, I'd slap him across the face right now.
Like, this is so asinine that the only reason you're bringing it up is because I heard Dan Patrick, Dirt and Sprague, Primetime with Isaac and Suk, and Jim Rome all talk about this today.
Yep.
And guess what? Baseball in December.
Yeah, but not.
This is the NFL 24-hour news cycle. Like, yeah, nobody thinks it's a good idea. I don't think it's a good idea, but we're talking about baseball.
Let's yak about it,
right? Let's yak about it. I'm saying names like Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge. Like, you know, I feel like it's like a Barbara Streisand and Mike Myers on SNL. You know, you guys know what I'm talking about?
You're losing me. It's a little bit too early of SNL. Yeah,
sorry.
That's okay.
I'm going to have to look up the skit.
Yeah, Madonna and... Yeah.
I'm going to really go good. On the limb that all of these shows that we're talking about today, not one of them was like, this is a good idea.
No, not one of them. But it got all of them. Whether it's our homeboys, Dirt and Sprague in the morning.
That's not good for baseball.
Or whether it's Dan Patrick, who competes with them at the same time. Both those people talk about the same thing. It's talking about baseball.
I mean,
yeah,
that's the only reason it's brought up. There's absolutely no way this happens.
This is one of those, like, hey, any press is good press. No, this is bad press.
No, this is bad press.
And it hell, and it
we look stupid.
Not, yes, you look terrible.
Although, to be fair, I'd probably rather...
You said you, and I said we.
Hey. I'd rather listen
you're like,
to...
You look stupid, baseball. I'm like, we look stupid, baseball.
I'm not in this.
I'd rather listen to a segment about that than a segment about Aaron Rodgers and how bad the Jets suck, okay?
Hey, future Hall of Fame voter over here. I say we.
All right, guys.
My goal in life now.
Fair or foul number two, of course, we are awaiting the decision by the top prize in free agency, Juan Soto. The Dodgers in on the conversation after already making two big free agent signings, both with some deferred money in it. Blake Snell and Tommy Edman, of course, after doing the same with Shohei Ohtani last
Japanese
season.
Japanese hero. Juan Soto.
Excuse me. And who knows? Roki Sasaki could be on their roster as well, guys. Fair or foul, just because of the way the Dodgers are doing this, MLB will eventually stop allowing deferred money on contracts. Fair or foul?
I'll start with this. Fairish? I think there'll be a cap. I think there'll be a cap of a per year or a percentage of the contract. I think baseball was very happy with, like we talked about earlier, like the Bobby Bonilla deals of the world. The Max Scherzer is going to get paid by the Nationals. He hasn't played for the Nationals in three teams.
And frankly, that's good for athletes.
And I think that's fine. Yeah, setting it up for when you're older. Like Max Scherzer's not going to be on TV, okay? Curtis Granderson doesn't make the kind of money that Max Scherzer does, but he's got a TV career. And Curtis Granderson's going to be on TBS talking about baseball for the next 10 years. So he's got income. But guys like Max Scherzer, who is an absolute psychopath, he probably doesn't have a career after baseball. So I'm cool with that deferred money. But when you're talking about 90% of your contract or 90% of your yearly value, when you're talking, you know, $650 million deferred, I do think baseball will step in and not kibosh it. But I think they will adjust it. They'll have to negotiate with the players' union. Because the players' union will tell them absolutely no. But the players' union, I think, will come around and say, yes, let's say 50% can be deferred or 60 or whatever the number is, but it can't be 90.
They're not going to, like, end it or put a cap. If anything, they're going to put a cap on it. They're going to make some rules to where you can only defer so much.
Or so many players.
Yeah. They're going to have some sort of safeguards on it. Because, listen, I'm not upset at the Dodgers taking advantage of it.
I'm not
but
either.
It's also to a point where it's like, all right, how many teams can take advantage of it to this point like they are? And there's only a handful of teams that
it's
can.
It's so. Like it's like doing it for Shohei Ohtani, the best player in baseball, and Tommy Taters, who is a potential good player in baseball,
potential.
Is one thing.
Potential.
Potentially.
Keyword.
But to do it with Mookie, Freddie, Roki Sass, Juan Soto, and Max Fried, like, oh, we got to call it somewhere.
Yeah, they're going to put caps. They're going to do something to reel this in a little bit. You know, good job taking advantage of a loophole and a rule that was in place, and it was perfectly legal, but we're going to reel this in.
I still don't love the Dodgers to win the World Series next year.
I hope it's the Padres. Suck on that,
I'm
LA.
I'm Max Fried and Soto in the Mets, and old Frankie Lindor is the World Series MVP. Called right here.
Speaking of the Mets, all right, guys, we'll go pretty quickly on this last one because we really don't have that much time, but Andy McCullough of The Athletic, he says that a very, very strange and dark horse team is emerging as the top suitor for former Mets first baseman Pete Alonso. That is the Seattle freaking Mariners. I could not believe it when I saw it. Of course, he's trying to get the biggest deal that he can. They're saying that he could command a six-year deal worth $174 million, and Seattle would be that destination. Fair or foul, guys. The story about the Mariners being called top suitors for Pete Alonso is nothing more than a bargaining chip for his agent.
I will say foul. I think Pete is actually a great fit in Seattle.
I agree.
I think Pete Alonso would be a great fit in Seattle. I think the town would really embrace him. I think he would be a giant breath of fresh air, as first base has kind of been lost since John Olrude. You know, Ty France for a minute. I think Seattle would be an amazing fit for Pete Alonso. Now, the only thing that makes this foul is that I don't think Steve Cohen will be outbid. So it would come down to Pete Alonso. Do you want to be a part of that? I think he'd be great in Seattle. I think that ballpark would suit him. He's not a big average hitter. He's a bomb guy. And when you're in Seattle, you got to hit bombs. And if he came to Seattle, he would be the guy. Even though there's Julio, he would be the guy. And if you're in New York and they sign Soto and Walker Buehler or whatever they're trying to do over there, he's third, fourth down the line. It's about ego. I don't think it's a bargaining chip. I think Seattle's a real player on the table for Pete Alonso.
I think so, too. And I think it would be huge. I mean, that is a guaranteed.
It'd be huge for Seattle.
I think for some reason, Pete Alonso gives me vibes where it's like the whole batter's eye and T-Mobile Park. Like, it just wouldn't affect him. The dude mashes. Mm-hmm. He'll be fine if he goes to Seattle and has to play half of his games at T-Mobile Park. So I don't think it is a bargaining chip. And I'm sorry, rephrase or
no,
say
that,
the
yeah,
question
fair
or
foul. Time. It is nothing more than a bargaining chip. So you would say foul. It is definitely more than that.
No, definitely. I would say so.
Yeah, I think, and we'll just say this before, you know, when we come back, I got a little things on the Mariners that I will say that relating to Pete Alonso, but we got to get out of here. So we'll be right back. 10 of the Fan. All right, we're getting out on this. Joe and I are losing it over here talking about some Swigart. God, I love that, man. Tune in, Dirt and Sprague. They'll be up in like 12 hours. Actually, 12 minus 3 is 9. They'll be here in 9 hours.
They'll be getting over in 12 hours.
Yeah. They'll be here in 9 hours. Tune into those guys. I love those guys. But I wanted to say something real quick. We were talking in fair foul about Mariners and their chances with Pete Alonso. I think the Mariners really big thing. Now, obviously, there's a ton of it. And we'll talk about the Mariners a ton over the offseason because not only are they local-ish and we got Schultzy over there, but they're a fascinating team. They've got so much assets, but so much needs. Pete Alonso or Alex Bregman, they got to get one of those guys.
I agree.
And if they don't get one of those guys, it's just this year all over again.
I can't watch Alex Bregman in a Mariners uniform.
I understand that, and I'm with you on that. I hate Alex Bregman, but it's Pete Alonso or Alex Bregman. Yeah, we can talk about trading Bryce Miller or Wu or Gilbert or Kirby or Castillo or whatever. You need Pete Alonso or Alex Bregman. And if you don't get one of those, this is a bust season.
And quite frankly, I say it's got to be Alonso because I think that lineup needs pop.
I think so, too.
Great fielding arm, glove by Bregman and everything. I love it, but
you want the mash.
You need bats.
You need the mash. All right, that'll do it for us. We'll be back next week. A lot of baseball to get through over the off season, so we'll do all that. Joe Fisher, Patrick Harris, go do something. I would do.